time management in the form of calendar hacks typically isn't what we need. A lot of people are used to over-efforting and to outworking the problem. You hit a point when that's actually shooting yourself in the foot.
Hey there, billionaire. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you expect to live another 31 years, you're already a billionaire. Not in money, but in the real measure of wealth. Time. That's because 31 years is roughly a billion seconds. But most of us waste time in ways we'd never waste money. The currency of time billionaires is micro moments. The 90-second to 15-minute gaps hidden between the structured parts of your day. This podcast is about reclaiming them with quick, research-backed ideas to help you feel more creative, productive, and alive. Welcome to Time Billionaires. Let's make your next micro moment count. Thanks for joining today's episode of the Time Billionaires podcast. Our guest is Dr. Anne Welsh, a clinical psychologist and executive coach who works with high-performing professionals navigating ambition, burnout, and constant pressure. She helps people move away from perfectionism and overload and toward clearer priorities, stronger focus, and more sustainable ways of working and living. Thanks for being here, Anne.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm excited for this. We connected in a community where you were leading a really interesting roundtable, helping people get clear on their priorities. And this is something you do with corporations and individuals. So you work with teams within a company and individuals to help people feel more in control of their time and energy and focused on the right priorities. What are some approaches that you've seen work for this?
Yeah, I think there's three main things that I talk about with people. And one of the biggest mindset shifts is that I help people think less about how to control time and more about how to allocate it intentionally, right? I think when we think of time as something that we have to control, it's like we squeeze it tighter and tighter and tighter, and we actually lose sight of what we're trying to do. Whereas if we think about it as something that we kind of steward and get to choose how we spend it, we get less like wrapped up in optimizing our time, and we get better at letting things be good enough and kind of protecting our time and also thinking about our energy in conjunction with time. And so like part of supporting that is recognizing that time management in the form of calendar hacks typically isn't what we need. Often what we actually need to do is have better psychological boundaries. So what do I mean by that, right? That's like the internal work of knowing what is mine to carry versus the things I've just absorbed from everybody else, or deciding in advance what in my life needs like my A-plus work. What is good enough with a B or a C, or quite frankly, even a D or an F, right? Like what, let's get granular in how we're defining success. And so it's not so black and white. And like slowly helping our nervous system settle with the idea of I don't have to be over-efforting all of the time and kind of doing everything to that A-plus level. Ironically, the more we let go of our attempts to control time, I think the more control we actually have over our time, right? And it's a scary thing to let go of for a lot of my clients, because I think a lot of people, and I'll put myself in this category, are used to over-efforting and to outworking the problem, right? That I think a lot of us get to a certain point in our careers and outworking problems and saying yes to everything and leaving it all on the table is kind of what's gotten us success. And then you hit a point in your career in particular when that's actually shooting yourself in the foot. You have to learn to not do that and carve out space, which is scary, to then think more strategically about how am I allocating my time, et cetera. And so it's a really big shift around how we approach kind of everything in the end.
Yeah, it is. I completely agree. And the control and the action really works to mitigate anxiety. If we're moving, we're in motion, we're doing something, even if it's the wrong thing on the wrong problem, it still feels involved. And I think you're right. This, the less we try to control time, the more we are actually are in control of it. I use the analogy of water. If you're trying to grab at it, it's going to slip right through your fingers. But if you can just gently cup it, then you actually have a lot more to work with. And there's little things here too, even just the reply, response, react cadence. I found I'm consulting right now for a company that has a very different internal culture about acknowledging messages, which is just that they don't if they don't think their input is needed. And at first that was kind of unnerving, but I realized how much energy goes into even just reacting to messages that I'm peripherally involved in. If they don't need me, the culture there is, if I don't have a big concern or objection or input, I just don't react, don't respond, don't anything. And everyone assumes that if this is a big enough issue, it'll come up again in another meeting, et cetera. Even that energy of feeling like I'm obligated to react, respond quickly has a lot of wearing down. And the new cadence that now I've learned to operate in is just everyone expects that. If I don't raise a hand saying I have a concern, then we all assume that we've read everything and we have that to deal with. And I think that that really transcends the little examples into how we think about where we show up and put our energy and, yeah, what's required of us to do a good job.
Yeah. And I love that story because it speaks to like how our brains cognitively work. Responding requires a set shift. So you have to acknowledge you had the thing come in, the request, the email, the whatever. And then we have to think about what is my response? And then we have to generate a response. Now, we kind of do that seamlessly, but these are all actually different tasks. So what this company is doing is saying, let's take out that cognitive effort that goes into that middle piece. So if it's a no, then that's the end of the decision-making that you have to do. And that frees up cognitive bandwidth for you to put somewhere else. It's actually a great tool, as long, I think, as it's done in kind of a workplace culture that is respectful of how this works and how feedback works between people. Obviously, I think there's probably workplace cultures where that wouldn't be a fit, but when it works, man, that's a great shortcut.
Yeah, even as an individual, if you're in one of those cultures that it doesn't fit, the end of, if I don't hear any concerns by Friday at 2 p.m., I'll assume that this is resolved, is a very different place to leave things than let me know if you have any thoughts or questions. Because the onus and the ambiguity for the requester is still pretty big, and the responder, even an emoji response still takes thinking about what it'll take. So a little check mark, if that's what we all acknowledge. Yeah, and to your point, how time feels, like how we spend it, all of the research shows that is more important than how much we objectively have. We can feel more time poverty with more leisure time than we do if we have a really scheduled day and still feel like we don't have any control over it. And you have a really interesting approach with working with people who feel this constantly on. And I'm wondering if there are small shifts that you've found that help people or teams just feel more collectively productive if they do feel like they have this pressure to be constantly on.
Yeah. So I want to share, maybe to illustrate, start with a story of like how this works. So I was working with a client and she was like super high performing, super well respected, but also like completely maxed out, like struggling with anxiety. You know, she was in that place that I think a lot of us find ourselves of doing everything all the time and still having that feeling of falling behind. So her initial thought was like, do I need some more productivity tools? And instead, we took a step back and said, what deserves your best energy? And out of that discussion and thinking, you know, essentially, what's the psychology behind the time management here? She made a really crazy move. She actually negotiated down to a 4-day work week, not to do less in her role, but to carve out a day in her life for admin and a passion project she wanted to pursue and some thinking time. And what was surprising, I think, to everybody, except maybe to me, but certainly to her leadership team, like they agreed to try it on a trial basis. It was that her performance didn't dip. It actually improved, right? Because she was putting a day in the week to plugging some of those energy drains in the life admin, doing something that felt restorative with the passion project. So then in the 4 days that she was showing up, she was super on top of everything, super efficient, and she got the job done. And in the end, she actually got promoted at the 4-day cadence because she became so good at prioritization. She got clear in meetings, and she recently shared with me that she got the feedback that she is the best prioritizer and everyone likes working with her because of that. Because when she sets the priorities, then everybody else actually benefits from the boundary around their time too, right? If she's like very clear, these are the three things we're working on, we can't do anything outside of this, even her higher ups are like, oh, great. Then I don't have to think about that either because someone set a boundary around it, right? So it's this shift of thinking about Where are my energetic leaks that I need to plug? Where are the things that are taking my time that are not worth it, or taking my energy that are not worth it? Where do I get restoration? And we often talk about that as rest, but I think it's more about what are the things that give me joy, right? What fills my cup so that I have more energy to give? And then what are the most important things to focus on? And nothing else kind of gets my attention, right? That moves us out of that chronic urgency, never enough scarcity of time, place, to one of feeling more strategic, more control, and safer, right? I mean, in the end, this is really about moving from a place of feeling unsafe in our nervous systems and kind of hypervigilant to moving to over to a place where we feel more in control and safer. And then from there, we actually have more bandwidth. We can think more creatively. We can solve problems better, right? It's all sorts of good stuff comes as a result of that nervous system safety.
Yeah, you're reminding me of another guest we had on, Erica Keswin, who said a lack of intentionality is a recipe for resentment. And what she meant by that is sort of my misconception of balance earlier on in my career of I thought balance was daily, right? I need to excel at work daily and also fitness and also connections with my friends and family and also learning and passion projects. And of course, all the admin, personal household stuff you have to do. And with this example, she's basically saying what I imagine was her trying to sprinkle in passion projects at the end or in the middle sporadically throughout a 5-day work week, which probably didn't work as well as her being intentional and saying, I'm fully on intentionally these 4 days, I'm all in on work. And then I want this space for my passion project. And so she was intentional enough that she didn't feel resentment about where her time was going. Clearly, her team didn't feel resentment about how she was performing. And she was able to just kind of control that. And on a very tactical level to the what can get a D or an F or what isn't working well, I do a Friday check-in every Friday at 3 to 3:15, just 3 questions. What worked well? What didn't? What do I want more of? And anything that doesn't want more of in the next weeks can be a D. So for me this week, fitness was a D, and that's okay, right? Like, I usually like to do yoga more often. It wasn't my what do I want more of last week. And so I did 10 push-ups between meetings here and there, didn't really count them. It is what it is, better than nothing. But it let me be intentional with what was getting my attention this week because there were other demands personally and with work, and it was okay. And so I didn't find myself feeling burnt out or resentful that work was eating into my workout time because I decided up front, this isn't what I wanted more of in this next week. But next week, maybe it could be.
Yeah. One, it makes me think of this idea that I talk about of time leftovers. So I think so often, as an example from my personal life, I have kids, and when they were little and I was stretched for time, one of the things, bad habits that I would do would be I would just eat their leftovers as my meal. So like, quarter of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a chicken nugget that they didn't eat rather than making myself an actual lunch. And I was feeling really run down, not surprisingly, because I was only eating food that I didn't actually necessarily want and was like little bits of stuff. It wasn't actually satisfying. And I think so many of us do that with our time. You know, we just are constantly trying to fit things into the like leftover pockets of time and fit it around everybody else's needs. And like treating everybody else's urgency as our personal emergency. And it doesn't work. It leaves us feeling really depleted. And so when we get that intentionality, like you're saying, and kind of choose, I'm all in here right now, I'm focused and I'm present in this space, and then I'm going to be focused and present somewhere else later, we actually get to enjoy the time we're spending. We are more efficient, and it kind of just works better for everybody, right? So, you know, if you stop to make yourself a real lunch rather than eating the sandwich crust, you're probably going to be better off and more fed.
Part 2 of this 2-part episode is coming to you next week. Thanks for spending this micro moment with me. If you found it valuable, share it with a fellow time billionaire and give us a rating to help others discover the power of micro moments. For more ways to reclaim your time, check out timebillionaires.org and follow me, Rebecca Shaddix, on LinkedIn. See you next time.